El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not.
All right, you're gonna think this is maybe a foreshadowing thing for the future.
Today, it is with deep sadness that I acknowledge the loss of Senator Ted Stevens.
The ball was coming, and I was gonna catch it, but then it was in the
light. What comes next is entirely up to you.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, the only news talk and entertainment show in the world that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, we lay it on the line, we take it to the next level, we go through the looking glass to find that truth and maybe a couple of laughs on the way. And I'll tell you something, that's the last time Doug Danger's on this show for a while.
But he almost lost it.
What was his problem?
I don't know what his problem was. He's talking about how... If you guys missed our last hour, Doug Danger, he lost it there with that last caller. I don't know what his problem is. He's always been a bitter, angry guy. I had no idea his father was a Vietnam veteran. And he blames his mother for his father getting a venereal disease that I said to Doug, well, maybe he got it in Vietnam when he got back. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. But he blames his mother first with a gardener, then with a guy that drives a Miller truck, then with a guy that rents cars for Avis.
Where's his mother getting around, renting cars and drinking beer and then having a gardener, huh?
Renting cars and drinking beer and having a gardener?
Man, that means she's drinking beer because I'm a Miller driver. She's got a whole beer truck.
She met the guy somewhere. What has this got to do with anything? I don't know. But Doug was flipping his lid there as he talked. Well, I tell you what, download it tomorrow if you missed it. You can download the show tomorrow off of iTunes, bookmark, bunch of places off our website, and you can listen to Doug as he came unglued there. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. We'll tell you the biggest magazines in the country, and some may surprise you. A baseball fan gets called out by the play-by-play announcer for being a bad boyfriend at an Astros game. Netflix to stream more movies online, 877-876-PHIL. Here is that runaway. We've got a follow-up on that dude, that JetBlue guy.
That guy is gay, by the way. We were able to verify because of the picture, and I don't know if you'd seen it or not, but we did verify it.
Yeah, we got confirmation.
What confirmation are you talking about?
On the picture they showed of the guy, he's all, ooh, you ain't seen that?
That's not confirmation.
Yeah, but you need to see the picture.
Yeah, you got to see the picture. The guy's all, ooh, and he had...
You shut up for a minute, man. How is that confirmation?
You said that Art Griego said he's gay. And you said get confirmation.
Yeah, but that's not getting confirmation by looking at the guy's picture and he's all, ooh.
Well, you should have seen it.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. But he is gay.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Well, it ain't so fine because now he has HIV. But here's what I understand from this entire story, and I think Art was right about this. How is it the fact that this guy is gay? What's this got to do with anything? It's got nothing to do with it.
I think the thing is, because he's gay, that's why he got nervous and had a hissy fit.
See, that's the homophobia right there, man. That's like total homophobia right there.
Why?
Oh, he had a hissy fit because he's gay.
Well, I mean, that's what they're saying anyway.
No, they ain't saying that. That's what you two idiots are saying. His name is Steven Slater. He's the JetBlue attendant who told a passenger to F off, grabbed a beer, then fled down an emergency slide. He's told police he's HIV positive. Maybe he's under a lot of pressure from that. Sources told the New York Daily News, if that weren't bad enough, neighbors say his mother is dying of lung cancer. She's had two chemos, and the prognosis is not good, said one woman whose son lives with Slater. She described the 38-year-old as a nice guy. Slater was arrested after the incident and was arraigned in court today on reckless endangerment and criminal mischief charges. What reckless endangerment? Oh, because he opened up the...
Yeah, I was going to say, how did he recklessly endanger nobody?
Yeah, but if you open up the door on an aircraft... it could be considered reckless endangerment if you don't have the permission to do that either from the pilot or any emergency services that are around there. And then throwing that slide out there, it probably, on some level, was endangering someone. So anyway, he was arrested after the incident. He was arraigned in court today on reckless endangerment, criminal mischief charges. The defense had asked the court to release Slater without bail, but the judge instead set bail at $2,500. Slater was smiling as he left the courtroom. Well, that's good.
Yeah, but that's the bad picture. He's all like, woo. Woo-hoo.
Boy, bud, you really do that pretty good.
Yeah, man, I was going to say.
What's that mean?
Well, you're all like, you know, doing it. Are you gay?
No. All I'm saying is when you looked at a guy's picture, he's doing this. He's going, woo.
I heard you the first time, man.
Wow. Well, what about it?
First of all, I saw the picture you're talking about. He wasn't going, ooh. He had the picture, and he's like giving this smart-ass smile, okay?
Well, to me, though, it looked more like, woo-hoo. That's what it looked like to me.
What does that mean? I don't understand that.
Yeah.
What? How come you're agreeing with him?
I don't know. I don't know what it means either.
What does it mean when the guy goes, woo-hoo, or whatever that was?
No. If you look at a picture, it looks like he's going, woo-hoo, like that.
No, it doesn't, man.
That's what it looks like to me.
No, it doesn't. It looks like he's going, like he's smiling.
How you doing that?
Like he's going, like that.
No, I think he's going, woo-hoo.
No, he's going, will you get out of here with that?
Do that again, man.
No, I ain't going to do it again. So this poor man, this JetBlue flight, I say poor man because I got to be honest with you. I kind of agree with Art on this one, man. I take the side of the flight attendant. You know, I bet you they put up with more crap. This guy flipped his lid, so he flipped, all right? Some guy tells him to F off. So Stephen Slater, the JetBlue flight attendant, who activated an exit chute on a just-landed plane at Kennedy after a dispute with a passenger Monday and slid to notoriety, did not post the $2,500 bail set by the judge, and he remains in custody. That's according to this story from the New York Times. Though friends were said to be trying to raise the money for him, and a Stephen Slater legal defense fund on Facebook has already attracted dozens of members, Mr. Slater was placed on a bus around 2:30 p.m. and driven from the courthouse in Queens toward Rikers Island. And
what's that?
That's where the jail is. At the arraignment on felony charges of reckless endangerment and criminal mischief in a packed courtroom in the basement of the criminal court, Mr. Slater's court-appointed attorney, Howard Terman, said that Mr. Slater's activation of the slide was not reckless. He said Mr. Slater followed the proper procedure for activating the slide, checking out the window first to make sure no one was on the tarmac and who could be struck by it. Mr. Tooman of the Legal Aid Society offered an account of the... Well, you guys at JetBlue, you might want to pay your people a little bit better.
Yeah, no kidding, man. All the legal aid and all this stuff. And the guy can't even post bond.
Of course, he might be just spending it all on dope. I'm kidding. Offered an account of the flight JetBlue 1052 from Pittsburgh. He said that he justified Mr. Slater's actions. He told reporters that on the ground in Pittsburgh, a female passenger had been verbally and physically abusive to Mr. Slater when he intervened as she squabbled with a male passenger over access to the overboard luggage compartment. The woman initially at Pittsburgh slammed the overhead into his head, said Mr. Terman. That she slammed this thing into Mr. Slater's head.
That's a flight attendant.
Yeah. So a passenger on the flight, Gregory Kansas, as in the group Kansas, no, is actually spelled K-A-N-C-Z-E-S. So that would be like the state of Kansas in...
like Russia.
Yeah, if it was in Russia. Greg Kansas said that he saw a large, fresh-looking gash on Mr. Slater's forehead at the beginning of the flight. It was about an inch and a half long, and it was a big red mark or a cut, Mr. Kansas said by phone on Tuesday. There was no bandage, so this man had been injured, at least according to this one witness, by someone slamming this overhead bin shut. In previous accounts offered by the authorities, Mr. Slater, his main altercation with the passenger had come at the end of the flight, not the beginning, with the passenger pulling a bag out of the overhead compartment that struck Mr. Slater in the head. The law enforcement authorities have declined to identify the passenger and would not say if she had been interviewed. JetBlue said it could not release the passenger's name because of privacy rules. Meanwhile, in an interview on the celebrity news website TMZ, a woman who probably just couldn't wait to talk to TMZ, who says she was married to Mr. Slater in the 90s. Well, they really dig him up, don't they?
Are you kidding me? How'd they find her out?
Who knows? This guy isn't, he's not in court one day, and now he's over on Rikers Island. All of a sudden, out from underneath the baseboard comes some chick he was married to in 1990 with her hand out.
Boy, no kidding, man.
I don't know, maybe TMZ dug her up. She was married to Mr. Slater in the 1990s and remains friendly with him. She said that she talked to Mr. Slater's ailing mother after his arrest on Monday. The woman, Cynthia Suzanne, said that Mr. Slater's mother told her that Mr. Slater said that the passenger had maliciously pulled the compartment door down to hit Mr. Slater in the head and that the altercation had occurred at the end of the flight. The version offered by Mr. Terman indicates a longer simmering animus between the two parties.
What's that?
Animus, anger or dispute. Mr. Terman said that on the ground at Kennedy, the tension flared again when the female passenger tried to get her bag out of the overhead before the crew had given permission and Mr. Slater instructed her to remain seated. Mr. Terman said the woman was outraged and cursing at Mr. Slater, who wanted to avoid a conflict. Law enforcement officials said that after the passenger cursed at Mr. Slater, he grabbed the intercom, cursed her out, bid passengers goodbye, grabbed a beer, activated the inflatable exit chute. In court, an assistant district attorney, Benjamin Martell, said that Mr. Slater said over the plane's intercom, "Those of you who have shown dignity and respect for 20 years, have a great ride," before making his final exit. When asked why Mr. Slater chose to avoid the conflict by taking the emergency slide, Mr. Terman replied, "It was right there."
Sounds to me like he flipped.
Yeah, I mean, if all that other stuff is true, and the fact that the guy opened up the emergency chute, that shows he flipped.
Yeah, I think he flipped his lid. I think he might have had an argument had he not have flipped it. Had he not flipped it out, you know.
Flipped it out.
Well, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you that it prejudices his case that he opened this emergency chute up. That it does make him look like a real nut job. On the other hand, I don't think anybody who is a reasonable human being doesn't recognize that flight attendants have got to put up with some real stupid, crude, and rude people. And you know it as well as I do, man. When they tell you to, you know, don't unbuckle your buckle until the damn light is off. As soon as that cat slows it down, you can already hear the click, 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 click.
Yeah, no, and everybody's going to get up and stuff.
And they're standing up, you know. Now, a lot of times the flight attendants won't say diddly squat because you're right at the gate. But if the guy has slowed it up because he's waiting for traffic to go by and he's still a long way away from the gate, but he's slowed it down, maybe even to the point of stopping, that's when they're going to say, hey, keep seated because we ain't done yet. You know.
Well, I don't know about that. Every time I ever unbuckle, dead already at the gate.
You've never had the pilot slow down in the middle of like a runway, you know?
No, not that I know of.
Well, it happens to me. It happened especially when they're doing any kind of construction, like when they were redoing LAX over here, man. During, you know, before the Olympics. Oh my God! You know, you're having to wait for 15, 20 minutes for traffic to get out of the gate, get into the gate, wait for this guy to go by. Another guy's going by. They got 16 guys lined up to go out here. Another guy's lining, you know. So they're always telling people to shut up and sit down. Actually, they should say shut up and sit down. They ought to just say, shut up and sit down.
Yeah, but then they'd be sued for being rude and everything.
Probably. All right, 877-876-PHIL. One Astros fan, maybe the worst boyfriend ever, will tell you why, plus World War II could have been avoided. That's what they say. Ask Pat Buchanan. He wrote a book about it. I'm kidding. 877, actually, no, I'm not kidding. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It's the Phil Henry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You know, I'm going to look at this Michelle Obama thing. Yeah, I ain't talked about President Obama in a while, and I have said that I'm bitterly disappointed in how he has treated this ongoing challenge for our military in Iraq and Afghanistan. I'm just very disappointed. Just, I don't know how else to say it, man. You know.
What about the rest of the stuff he's doing? He's butchering, everything's getting butchered alive.
No, I don't necessarily think everything's getting butchered alive. I think when it comes to this economy, there's all kinds of... I sat down today and I had a conversation with a guy who's very, very intelligent. This cat is... Frankly, he's handling my retirement fund.
Who is he?
I don't want to give his name out, but Dave. That's Dave. And Dave is a smart guy, man. And by the way, he recommended a book... Michael Lewis just wrote it. What the hell? Hey, Jace, look up the last book that Michael Lewis just wrote. And really, it came down to what we all have suspected, what I've suspected. I said to Dave, check me out on this. Is it not just, it's not just criminality. It is, he said it was a lot of, Dave said to me, it's a lot of people walking away from the store. The Big Short, Inside the Doomsday Machine, he recommended it, so let me recommend it to you guys. I haven't read it yet, and I'm sure that it's, you know, it's been out for maybe a year or so. Nonetheless, he said, let me tell you what happened. I said, what? when these jackasses were investing in these insurance stakes, insuring all of these toxic mortgages, right? And then making their money back when the toxic mortgages got packaged and resold to somebody else. Guess what? What they did when the bill came due? Because the bill would come due. Wait a minute. All of a sudden, somebody's got to get paid for these things. And it comes sailing back to these companies that were packaging them up and selling them to the next guy, and packaging them up and selling to the next guy. Well, there's one guy in particular, and he's mentioned in the book. All of a sudden, $90 million comes back to this guy's company. This guy that was one of many companies that invested, that helped people get mortgages subprime, right? $90 million. What do you think he did? Or was it 90? I don't know what it was. 90 billion or 90 million something. He locked the door to the office and walked away. Not in business, not home, man. I'm not accepting the bill. They walked away. This is much, much bigger than just a bunch of jokers that can't pay their mortgage. Because when a guy can't pay his mortgage, back in the day, he got his ass pitched out of his house. The guy couldn't pay his mortgage back in the day, or couldn't afford it. He didn't get a mortgage in the first place. But these clowns, this is where the problem started. There's always going to be people that can't afford a house, folks. There's always going to be a joker that can't afford a house. There's always going to be a joker that can't afford a car. There's always going to be a joker that can't afford this and he can't afford that. He can't afford anything. Does he want it? Yes. Have people wanted stuff they couldn't have for thousands of years? Yes. Has the American worker, you know what the man said, you know, in that great movie Warren Beatty did about Reds, you know, he said, you can't make the American worker want your revolution, man, because he wants what the rich guy has. You want the American worker to want your revolution? You want to know what he wants? He wants that house that guy's got. That's what he wants. So what happened? These scumbags came along and suddenly said, guess what? We're going to let you have it. Now, I submit to you, in all good reason, folks, that while there's always going to be people who want what they can't afford, the guy that gives it to them and then walks away when the bill comes due. And that's what these guys did. They just walked away. One of these people lives in my neighborhood. My kids went to school with his kids. Now, why am I saying all this stuff? Because Obama is in the news for a lot of things. Now his wife is in the news. Now, I'm going to tell you something, because I've been alive through a lot of presidents. I've been alive ever since my first president that I consciously remember is President Kennedy. I was born, I think, when Truman was still president. Eisenhower, I didn't know him from any other bald-headed guy. But I started getting hip to presidents with Kennedy and then Johnson and then with Nixon and Ford and all that. I have never seen a bigger issue made in a negative sense about a first lady's travels than with this woman, Michelle Obama. I don't give a crap what kind of an economy it is. We've had bad economies before. We were in the middle of a recession when Nixon was president. My God, that guy was traveling all over the damn place. He was going down to Key Biscayne, kicking it in all kinds of luxurious places. People weren't bitching at him about that. What they didn't like was the fact the guy was, you know, he had all those Watergate guys running around. We had a bad economy with Jimmy Carter. We had a bad economy with Reagan. I never heard people make as big a deal about where people vacation than with this president and his wife. It's you know, you can say whatever you want, and you can do whatever you want, and you can get people to believe whatever you want, but I ain't buying it.
Yeah, well, what do you call it? You're probably seeing it on account of the race, huh?
I don't know what it is, man. Yeah, I'm going to have to say it's race because I can't figure it out. For love or for money.
What are you talking? She went over to Spain, right?
So she went to Spain. So what? You know, first ladies are just like vice presidents, and they're just like ambassadors. They do a lot of goodwill work. They go out and represent the country and the president. In America, we don't have a chief of state and a separate from a chief of government. The president is both. He is the head of state and the head of government. In Britain, they got a queen, and they have a prime minister. In other countries, they have the same thing. Here in America, we only have a president. So sometimes he has the vice president do stuff, he has the first lady do stuff, but to make a big deal out of this woman...
Then you say it's on account of she's black.
I can't think of any other reason.
Is it because you think she looks like a gorilla?
I didn't say that, okay?
Yeah, all right, you owe me.
What do you mean he owes you? We'll be back to the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
A gorilla.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, now here's kind of an interesting follow-up, I guess. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs delivered harsh remarks about his party's liberal base in an interview to the Hill newspaper recently, dismissing the professional left as unrepresentative of liberals in America. I don't know what that means. Maybe it's like saying the extreme right is not representative of conservatives. But anyway, Gibbs and the White House, however, have sought to downplay his remarks while at the same time maintaining that liberal dissatisfaction with President Obama is misguided. You have to understand something, Mr. President. The word liberal is distasteful to a majority of Americans. Now, I don't say that's right. I don't say it's wrong. It just is a fact. Now, somebody in your White House, you cats have got to start playing this thing. You got to be a politician. You know, when you get to be a president, you're not a Republican or a Democrat anymore. I mean, yeah, sure, you run your party. Isn't that a big whoop? But when push comes to shove, you got to be smart. You got to be smart. That doesn't mean being a Republican or a Democrat. Sometimes being smart means getting as far away from those two things as you can get. Sometimes being smart means getting as far away from being a conservative or a liberal as you can get. Sometimes being smart means you don't want to be a conservative. Sometimes it means you don't want to be a liberal. That's what these jackasses don't get. And that's, with all due respect, that's what the American people don't get. Politics is a game. I understand that. That's a fun game to play, and everybody likes to play, you know, and everybody likes to hate on their favorite guy to hate on. But when the country's in distress, I mean, having some real problems, the first thing we do need is people to be broad-minded about things, open-minded about things, you know.
Well, what do you mean, being open-minded about it? If you're going to be a liberal, you got to be a liberal.
No, you don't. Not if things demand that you be conservative. Not if events demand a more conservative ideology, and that's one thing for conservatives to learn. Not always do things demand a conservative ideology. Sometimes they demand something else, like a more liberal ideology. To think any other way is to not be smart.
Yeah, well, you're talking about one time going 65 in a school zone. I didn't understand that.
What?
Yeah, you said that if you were driving through a school, a neighborhood, like where a school kid lived, you should go fast.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, I did not.
Well, what did you mean?
What did I mean about what?
You said that if you see a school zone and you see a little tiny kid, that you should gun it.
I never said that you should gun it.
Well, wait, what are you talking about?
If you guys are talking about what I think you're talking about, I said that sometimes you go fast and sometimes you go slow.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, what's that got to do with gunning it through a school zone with little tiny kids on a crosswalk?
That's what I thought you said.
Well, he said it. Is that what you thought, too?
Yeah, we both thought that.
Well, you guys don't listen too good, okay? I never said, hey, when you're in a school zone and you see little tiny kids on a crosswalk, gun it.
Yeah, I thought it sounded kind of weird.
Well, you want to know why it sounded weird? Because it never got said.
Well, what are you saying, man? He's hearing things?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm saying.
Well, that'd make... Oh, right, that'd make me schizophrenia.
The what?
What do you call it when...
When you're hearing voices, schizophrenic?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's what you're saying.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if you're hearing voices. Hey, bud. Bud.
Shut up.
Yeah. Well, when you see a little tiny kid, man, gun it through the school zone.
Cut it out. You said it.
I did not say that. Think about that, man. What kind of sense does that make? What I was saying... Comparing it to the speed limit, I was saying sometimes you go fast, sometimes you go slow, sometimes you do it right down the middle, depending upon the traffic, the flow of traffic, and the needs. I mean, the politics is the same thing. I've always despised about this country that when we're in the direst of straits, when we are in the most serious of straits, that we all, like the dumbest people that ever walked the face of the earth, we all hug our damn political ideology like it's going to get us through, man, like it's the Bible. Anyway, Gibbs told the Hill that the professional left will only be satisfied when we have a Canadian healthcare system and we've eliminated the Pentagon. That's not reality. Hey, Gibbs, how do you feel about that, man? Oh, never mind. That means I got to listen to you talk. A number of liberal commentators have criticized the Obama administration on a range of issues, such as giving up on the healthcare public option. Gibbs is right, man. You ain't going to get no public healthcare option in this country. This is America. They don't want that. Let me ask some of you cats that are like far left people, okay? Where do you live, man? You live in America, and I understand that you want what you want, but you know that the majority of Americans don't want to go near a public health care option. As far as they're concerned, that's like leprosy. You might as well just have them touch a leper and then watch as their own noses fall off, man. They don't want to do that. And if you don't know, I don't care how liberal you are. I don't care how far left you are. If you're like Daily Coast liberal, if you don't know that, you're high on serious chemicals. I hear these people saying he's like George Bush. This is Gibbs talking. I hear these people talking like he's George Bush. Those people ought to be drug tested, Gibbs said in an interview. I mean, it's crazy. A number of liberal commentators have criticized the Obama administration on a range of issues, such as giving up on the health care option, a lack of action on repeal the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the continuing war in Afghanistan, and for taking an expansive view of executive powers some have compared to former President Bush. What did we say before Obama got elected? We said when he sits down and he looks in the inbox, suddenly he's going to see what the country's up against, and he's going to change his view, or at least be perceived as changing his view, on a number of issues.
Yeah, well, but are you saying he's like Bush?
I remember specifically saying on this show that he is going to be he'll take a much broader view of things like the Patriot Act and other darling issues. I had people tell me the Patriot Act was this, that. Man, the Patriot Act ain't none of that. And they've had countless judicial reviews. Only one very small aspect of the Patriot Act has been called into question constitutionally. The damn thing's on the books. It's been renewed with a Democrat in the White House. Get used to it. Gibbs also reported and said the professional left does not represent liberals in America who organized, raised money, and voted for President Obama. Gibbs laid a baby. Why would you retract that? What are you afraid of, Gibbs? Huh?
Probably afraid Lady Gaga not going to, you know, let him backstage or something like that.
You think she probably let Gibbs backstage?
Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
Where'd you guys hear that?
I don't know. I think it'd be funny, though, if you found out that Gibbs was jumping Lady Gaga's bones or something like that.
What did you call her?
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
Man, are you crazy?
I've heard people call her that.
Yeah, maybe that's what Gibbs calls for that, when he's jumping her bones, Lady Gaga. At a White House press briefing today, Deputy Press Secretary Bill Burton, acknowledged that every single person in the White House, including the person who lives here, can be frustrated at times with the left. He added, however, that any frustration is extraordinarily minimal compared to the focus people have on the work they're doing. Isn't that interesting? Have you ever heard of that before? Well, yeah, sort of. I mean, Bush got the same thing from the far right. He did. I mean, Bush got the same thing from the far right, that he wasn't near conservative enough. I mean, half of these douchebags that talk about Bush now, these people that are conservative commentators, and, I mean, they were very disrespectful to Bush, talking about how the cat was, you know, if you want to know why it is the Democrats crap all over Bush when it comes to the economy and say that this is the result of Bush's policies, you want to know who to thank for that? Other conservatives. Conservatives and Republicans who did the same damn thing. Man, this is not the president. I mean, this is not conservative. Burton, however, reiterated Gibbs's point that there is a professional left who may not represent most liberals. You have to separate out what folks say on cable TV from what progressives around the country think about how things are going. I think people are pretty pleased we were able to get health reform done and end the combat mission in Iraq. This is where Obama's White House is stupid. No American wants the combat mission in Iraq ended if it means that Iraq is technically a defeat. And what does that mean? It means that that democracy that we saw everybody walking out of the polls, you know, with the blue finger. You remember that?
Yeah. What was that about?
That's what they were voting with the blue ink on their finger. If that means that democracy doesn't survive, that's not going to be a win. I'm not going to be grateful for that. Some other jackball. I don't know who this guy is. One of the writers writes that professional liberals often serve as guides or curators for the frustrations for unprofessional liberals, regular liberals. He continues, voters are frustrated because for all of the president's legislative successes, there haven't been moments of clear triumph or moments of emotional catharsis. Or when there have been such moments, like when the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff testified before Congress in favor of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, they evaporate quickly. It's because you guys don't understand this country, you stupid bastard. Ambinder, whatever your name is. You don't understand the people. You don't understand the mood of the country. You don't understand what it is the American people really want. You've completely misinterpreted why Obama was elected. Okay, Phil, why was Obama elected? I'll tell you why. Because Obama represented the closest thing to a fresh start for this, not necessarily radical change, but a fresh start, a restart, a rebooting of the computer, if you will. There's a big difference between saying, get rid of all that scum, and wait a minute, let's recalibrate and start again. There's a big difference. American people don't hate George Bush, and they never did. They were unhappy with him as a president there, particularly at the end. They were upset and they were frustrated, but they don't view George Bush as a bad guy any more than the majority of Americans view President Obama as a bad guy. They're probably confused by him more often than not. But the reason why Obama was elected president of the United States is because he was the closest thing to a brand spanking new, shiny, you know, silver dollar, man. We can start all over again now. Let's kind of start with some fresh ideas and some new ways of looking at things, and let's go, baby. Let's go. Oh, and yes, it did help that he was black. There's no question that a lot of people voted for him because he was an African-American, because having a black president would be a huge, huge morale builder for the country. Now, I know that there's a lot of people that don't agree with that, but most people agree with me. Most people that are listening to me right now agree with me. It was good for the morale of the country to see an African-American as president of the United States. And this was the right man. Intelligent, articulate, and now he's got people all pissed off and frustrated and crazy. But I'll tell you one thing. People voted for this guy not because he was necessarily a liberal or a progressive, or the guy was going to green up the freaking planet, or the cat was going to make it all cool for gay people in the military, or he was going to make everything just all touchy-feely over in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's not why people voted for the guy. People voted for the guy because he looked like a guy who got it about a lot of things. And they could talk to this president through our representatives and, have it make a little bit of sense and have some things done that the American people wanted. Now, a lot of the stuff he's done has pissed some people off. Sure, and it's going to happen. But they didn't vote for him because he was a liberal, man. And you got to understand that. They didn't vote for him because he was a progressive and he was a groovy-ass progressive and he's going to have all these They voted for Obama for a lot of reasons, a lot of them having to do with the fact that they wanted to see him win because he was a black man. They wanted to see him win because he was an intelligent and articulate and new voice in American politics. They wanted to see him win because they wanted to see all of the haters lose. They wanted to see this guy win because they didn't quite care whether it was Jeremiah Wright or anybody else. And Hannity was whining in their ear a little bit too much. American people want to go their own way and do their own thing when they feel like it. It don't mean they're a bunch of liberals.
Yeah, but how do you know for sure?
How do I know for sure?
I just thought I'd say that just to keep you going.
Get out of here. I'll tell you how I know for sure. Because look at this jackass Gibbs and the rest of these guys are all talking about, well, this professional left doesn't get it. Well, he's right about that. And look at how the left's treating the president. And they don't understand. Of course they don't understand. They don't know why he got elected in the first place. The professional left, that was the first group of people that we said would be pissed off when this guy got elected president, because they were going to find out that this cat was the furthest thing from a so-called progressive liberal, you know, or whatever these guys are calling it, establishment liberal guy. There is a thing called being pragmatic, and sometimes it makes you look like you are something that you're not.
Yeah, but you're talking about how he was reading all about Abraham Lincoln and everything like that. Was Lincoln a liberal?
Was Lincoln a liberal? What kind of question is that?
Was Lincoln a liberal?
Yeah, yeah, I guess he was a liberal, man. He wanted to free the slaves. He was a Republican. But back in those days, Republicans were liberals and Democrats were conservatives. So the whole thing was... All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I almost did.
What are you guys talking about?
We went to Dodger game. I almost had a foul. As we go out to the left field pavilion.
Yeah, all right. Go on the left field pavilion. I got my mitt. And a ball come that was a line drive shot, okay? That, I forget who hit it. I think it was Ramirez, all right? And I put my glove up and this sucker put his glove up and we missed the ball.
I had a shot at it.
All right, hold on, because we're back on the air. What are you guys talking about, catching foul balls?
No, it was batting practice.
It was before a Dodger game, they're taking batting practice.
Yeah, we out in the left field pavilion.
So the line drive came, and you, did you guys have your gloves?
Yeah, we always bring our gloves.
So what'd you do, Robert?
I put my glove up, man, I had it. And this dumbass come up, stick his glove right up there.
No, I did not do that. I did think I had it, but it was way over your head, way over my head.
No, it wasn't, man, I had it.
All right, well, let me, because they were talking about that, because I was telling the guys, and welcome back to our show, Phil Hendry Show. We're talking about a boyfriend and a girlfriend. Now, listen to this. This is in, I guess it's at the Astros game. Was it at the Astros game in Houston? A young woman was struck in the arm by a Chris Johnson fly ball during last night's Astros-Braves game at Minute Maid Park. I guess that's Houston, because the Braves play it. Where is this, man?
Oh, Minute Maid is in California because of orange juice.
No, it isn't. It's, what do you mean, because of orange juice?
Yeah, because ain't that what it is?
No, man. This is in Houston. The Astros, I don't know. Anyway, a young woman was struck in the arm by a Chris Johnson fly ball during last night's Astros-Brave game at Minute Maid Park. The reason? Her lion-hearted boyfriend jumped out of the way of the ball because he lost it in the lights. So it was a big arcing foul ball. Is that it? Or a fly ball? It was a Chris Johnson fly ball during last night's Astros-Braves game. Her lion-hearted boyfriend jumped out of the way of the ball because he lost the lights. I can't stand these stories, man. I can't stand them.
Why?
Because they're so badly written. Was it a foul ball? I guess it was a foul ball. You know, there's no fly ball when it's foul, man. And this was written by a sports website, something called Sports Grid. And the reason why I want to know is I want to tell my audience exactly what happened, but I'm continually getting these stories that are so poorly written. First of all, the Astros-Brave game, okay, that's in Houston, because God forbid the story should tell us where it is, and the way that they have stacked the names of these teams, when you put the Astros-Braves that way, the visiting team comes first. But no, this is the home team. All right. Now the cat lost a, quote, fly ball in the lights. Well, was it a home run? Was he in fair ground? No, he was in foul ground. I don't know, because the story won't tell me. The guy identified later as Bo was then rearmed by, was then reamed by the Astros announcer for a solid 2 minutes, scolded for his lack of a gentleman's backbone. I think the girlfriend is owed a nice steak dinner, said one of the announcers. As the Chivalry is Dead proclamation continued, an Astros reporter interviewed the couple, further putting over... Can't read... Some guy's funny crap. All right, let me just, I'm going to have to just make this up as I go. Apparently, this stupid bastard didn't want to catch the ball. He got out of the way. His girlfriend got hit.
We're going to call him Bo the Bailer because he bailed on Sarah. Sarah, you knew the ball was coming your way, you told me, when you got these seats. Where was your boyfriend here?
You know, as soon as I got here and I saw where we were sitting, I was like, baby, I'm going to get hit. And he was like, no, you're not. I'll catch it if you do. I promise. We just had this conversation. And then sure enough, the ball comes at me and I go, baby. And he just bailed.
Then she said,
the ball was coming and I was going to catch it, but then it was in the lights and I lost track of it. So I just
caught in the lights. All right. I got some sunglasses for you, Bo, there for the next one. But, you know, when you lose it next time, you should go towards your girlfriend. Protect her. Don't go the other way like a little chicken.
But
you did get the ball.
Yes, ma'am.
And then she said,
all right, you're going to, like, think this is maybe a foreshadowing thing for the future that he might not be by your side?
Maybe I do need to reconsider this hit.
Right. Way to be a good sport next time. We're watching it. All right, guys.
He didn't want to
okay,
get
bye.
That in great depth.
Okay, bye.
Love the excuse.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. All right, that's that. 877-876-PHIL, our website, philhenryshow.com. Listen to the podcast. Listen to the PhilCast when you can, our videocast. Get a backstage pass.
Phil Henry.